Let us pray. For this Easter morning, we thank you that we can celebrate again and again every year and every Sunday as we gather to remember your great love for us. And especially today, we continue to pray that the joy of Easter will fill our hearts and will open our minds even as we reflect on the familiar passage of the resurrection. Come, Lord, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Please be seated. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. It's lovely, isn't it? Singing the Easter anthem and the psalm and the way it was sung. Well done. And we thank all of you who led in that singing, and we are very grateful. Today, I just want to focus on three words in our reflection on the passage, the resurrection passage: seeing, believing, and witnessing. First, let us look at John's Gospel. And we know that John wrote the Gospel. He wrote it so that people may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and that by believing, people will have eternal life. That was his main purpose for writing the Gospel. We also know that John organized his writings in such a way that there were seven signs. The first of the signs is the turning of the water to wine. The sixth sign is the raising of Lazarus from death to life. And the penultimate, or the crescendo, was actually Christ's resurrection itself. Christ's resurrection itself. And so, within this context, that John is trying to share with us, that we may believe that Christ is the Messiah, and that we may believe that he, through him our sins are washed, that through him we have forgiveness of sins. And so, that with that context, we look at the passages. So that's the whole passage itself. But undergirding that passage, another thing appears in our readings. You will notice that the Acts reading actually is Peter's so-called sermon, Peter's sermon. And focusing on Peter and putting the readings together serves another way for this Easter morning for us to be encouraged. And how is it? Remember Peter, he was the first one to say, "You are the Christ." You know, when Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" He said, "You are the Christ." And the next thing, he tried to teach the Christ, Jesus, how to be Christ. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, so that's Peter. And we also know, and he said, all, you know, and Peter, very impetuous, taking out the sword in the garden, and then cutting off the ear of the servant of the temple priest when they came to, I mean the temple servants, when they came to arrest Jesus. And then all of them running away. And he said he denied Christ three times. He denied Christ three times. And yet we find that in the post-resurrection appearances, Peter was restored. Jesus asked him, you know, "Simon Peter, do you love me more than these?" And he asked him three times. And we find that this post-resurrection appearances, Peter's experience of not feeling worthy, asking himself, "Am I still called? Am I still worthy?" When given such a great privilege of being with Jesus, given this great privilege of being the head of the disciples, you know, and having let my Savior down so badly, am I still forgiven? Am I still wanted? What is my worth? What is my worth? And you find Jesus restoring him. And then with that, when you, with that kind of understanding, and then you read the Acts portion that you have read, then you understand, wow, Peter saw, he believed, and then he was witnessing for Christ. And you can see the power of his testimony, the power of his testimony. It gives us strength and encouragement that nothing in the past that we have done that is so terrible that it would disqualify us from God's love. That is a great news, a good news for us. And we find the restoration of Peter and the call to serve God's people very powerful. Now, with that as an introduction, let us look at the passage itself and see what emerges out of that passage. So first is the mystery of the empty tomb. The passage starts, "In the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early. They were expecting to find a dead body, but the tomb was empty. So what did she see? The tomb was empty. And what did she do? From John's gospel itself, from this passage itself, we find that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.'" Jesus already said he will rise again, but somehow life and the storms of life, and especially when what you love, what you yearn for is shattered, and in this case, in Mary's case, her Lord, her rabbi, her teacher has died. Has died, and that causes a kind of a trauma, a kind loss that is so deep that sometimes facts just don't matter. You know, what is the fact? Jesus said he will rise again, right? And yet it just doesn't register. That doesn't mean that Mary doesn't believe, that there is no faith in Mary, but that it is what it is. And we need to understand that. And how wonderful it is that Jesus did not take it as an affront. And he appeared to her again. He appeared to her again. It is a mystery. It is a mystery. The love of God, the grace of God, that grace and favor that is unmerited, that is grace, that is shown to his people. And I think that is another thing that I would like you to take away today. Easter reminds of unmerited favor of God to you and to me. Keep that in your heart. Mary, even in her struggle, she ran to the disciples and shared with them. She had someone to go and speak to and share. And I think I would like to encourage you that you will have someone who you can go and share. You don't have to make sense. You don't have to get all the facts together. You don't have to be very intelligent. You know, don't have to be afraid, I may sound stupid. It sounds like nonsense. Don't want to open my mouth. But like Mary, to go and find someone in Christ, someone who believes in the Lord, and then to share, to be open, to be vulnerable. And I think that is important. Somehow, spending 3 years with Christ have molded them into that kind of a church. That kind of a small group, a connect group, you know. And I think that is another takeaway that I want to leave with you this Easter. If you are already not in a connect group, in a small group, I urge you to be there. And I urge that the dynamics in the small group will be as gracious that we allow the seeing, the believing, and the witnessing to emerge from there. That we practice that in that small groups. I urge you. And how did Peter and John respond? Immediately they ran to the empty tomb. They wanted to know what was happening. There was the seeing, the understanding, and the believing in stages. Peter didn't understand immediately or believe. He was perplexed. John understood and he believed. Whether he understood completely or not, that I would question. But somehow he believed. He believed. And it is a mystery. He probably couldn't explain it. How can the dead be alive? Even when dead Lazarus is still alive in Jerusalem. We tend to forget in the resurrection story that there is another person who's resurrected who's still around. And that is Lazarus. We tend to overlook that fact. And yet, when it happens to the one whom they really love and know, and he is dead, even the fact that Lazarus, deader than dead, is alive, even that cannot assuage the sense of loss in them. Emotions are so powerful. And we need to recognize and give space for people to struggle with that emotional fixation or struggle or entrapment, entrapped within that. We need to allow that space to be gracious as God extended His grace to us. Unwarranted love and care to us. So the connect groups need to be able to do that. I need to take a sip of water, excuse me. And so the mystery of the empty tomb, those things are surfacing. And for Easter, I want to put it to you as the takeaway. I'd like to look at another mystery, the mystery of Jesus' appearance to Mary. You know, and I've alluded to it earlier when I was speaking about that Jesus didn't take it as an affront. How can Mary, you know, so quickly not believe that I am there, that I am alive? How can she come expecting a dead body? He didn't take it in the front. He appeared to her. It's a mystery. You know why? Because God's love is so wonderful. We believe, but we cannot fully understand because can it be that my Savior has died for me? Can it be? Can it be? How can? Can it be? You know, that kind of thing. Because like Mary, you know, we have lost our loved one. We have lost our self-worth, our respect. There are so many kinds of losses in our lives. And then when there is such love coming, can it be so simple? So simple. But when God gives you the gift of faith, you cannot connect all the dots, but you believe. And you, like Mary, you and I, like Mary, in stages we come to that place where we say, Rabboni, my God, my Lord, my teacher. What a wonderful way that Christ invites us. He never is affronted by us, but He knows us and He draws us. So Mary's encounter with the angels and Jesus is the good news of hope. Good news of hope. Hope in what? Hope in Christ. we may not be able to connect all the teachings of Christ in our lives, all the theological points that people raise. But let us not get distracted by that, but move to try to understand them as much as we can. But at the bottom, the bottom line is to know this Jesus and the believing, and to believe and to hold on to that. And we find like Jesus, you know, slowly bringing Mary on board. Slowly bringing Mary on board. The recognition comes as the engagement in the midst of confusion. Yeah? Mary goes and she thought he was a gardener. Jesus was a gardener. Here it is, Jesus appeared. She is looking for Jesus. Jesus is right in front of her, and yet she found it difficult. Granted, Jesus has a new body. Granted. Yeah? And granted that she is emotionally shaken. Granted. But yet there is some familiarity, isn't it? But the reality is, people are so shaken by our life script, by our life stories, that sometimes when the grace of Christ is right in front of us, daily speaking to us, we fail to understand. And I want to encourage the connect groups, the small groups, that when you have people like Mary in your groups, be patient with them. Remember how the Lord Jesus treated Mary. So obvious. I'm here and you are treating me like a gardener. I'm here. That's me. Yeah? How many times I have to tell you, that you don't hear, you don't feel those things, you know. The dynamics is entirely different. It's a mystery, you know. But that mystery is not just offered to Mary, it's offered to you, to me, and through you and me, we are to offer it to one another. That is the difficult part. That is the difficult part. But we are promised that we can do it. And so we find Jesus telling Mary, go and tell the disciples. Go and tell. When she finally realized it was Jesus right in front, and immediately she got distracted. She wanted to hug him, to hold him, to fall at his feet. And he said, no, 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 not yet. There's time for all that. But now, go and tell. And sometimes, our own transformation, our own blessings that we received from the connect groups, from the small groups, the blessings we receive. Sometimes, we want, like Peter, James, and John, to build our own church. He says, let's build one booth for this, one booth for that, and one booth for this. And, you know, no. Jesus said to Mary, no, 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 no. Go and tell. Go. The call to mission. To go and to bear witness. So today, I would like to just close that in saying, God acted in the past to save his people. God acted to redeem his people. God continues to call people to salvation. Where the religious and political systems failed to deliver justice and served their own selfish purposes, and they accommodated to one another, God delivered peace, salvation, righteousness, and justice, not because of his own interests, but because he loved us. Because he loved us. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you have not known Christ, Christ as much as Mary has grown to love Christ. I just challenge you that you get yourself into the Connect group and find out about this wonderful love and the grace of God that is extended to us. But suffice to say, this Easter morning, that we believe and we know this, that's wonderful. And what is that? Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. For word read and preached, we thank you. Indeed, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.